Sokala Duma Radio.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Old Mutual Big Interview. My name is Nkululeko Nkeu, and in this week's conversation, we are chatting to Telkom Knockout winner, African Cup of Nations winner, and Cape Town City coach, Eric Tinkler.
Sokala Duma Radio.
Coach Eric Tinkler, thank you very much. Thanks for joining us at Sokala Duma Radio. Let's talk about your season. You're having a great season. You've won the Telkom Knockout. You're currently top of the log. But what we want to find out and what perhaps a lot of people that are following South African football may want to know is, how has the technical team been working with you, Coach Ian Taylor, Coach Calvin Mullen, and the rest of the guys? How has it been? How important of a role have they played in the success of the team?
Yeah, they've obviously all played a very, very important role in the success that we've had so far. In fact, Ian and Calvin were at the club right at the start when the players were actually brought in back in June. And I only joined them on the 3rd of July. And, you know, the first couple of weeks they were being put under their paces actually by Ian and Calvin and Guido, the fitness coach, and obviously John Kamita is obviously showing them around Cape Town, getting them used to the environment, you know, that they've now become accustomed to. And obviously once I joined, you know, we just set ourselves small targets in the beginning, what we wanted to achieve in the preseason, what we wanted to achieve in our first match at home against Polokwane. And we look to build from there. And you know, everybody has played an important role, and everybody has contributed extremely well. You know, extremely dedicated, you know, Ian Taylor, extremely dedicated to football, student of the game. Calvin Marlin has been a good servant to the game himself, a lot of experience. So he's obviously added a lot of value. Guido Seerden, you know, he's a Dutch conditioning coach. Comes with a new philosophy on, you know, periodization, and, you know, sat down with him and we've worked up a plan in terms of how we would prepare the team physically to get them in the right condition for the games. And you know, all that hard work and preparation has obviously led us down the right path, which is what has been important.
And it seems to show, because, I mean, you've been at it now. I mean, teams have noticed that you are the team to beat, you're one of the teams to beat, but yet they haven't yet figured you out completely. Your fitness levels are still high. There might be a knock here and there, but you haven't had major injuries, especially with Manyama, with Ungoma. You know, you haven't really, you guys seem to be fit enough, and they press and they very persistent throughout the 90 minutes. That's what is very noticeable about the team.
Yeah, and that, you know, that all goes down to Guido Seerden and the work that he puts in. You know, he gets on my case a lot in terms of the intensity of the training sessions, you know, but that's the whole philosophy around periodization.
All right, you touched a little bit about John, but I'd like you to expand on him. I mean, he's a chairman. How is it like to work with a person like him, considering the fact that you've worked at Wurts, you've worked at Orlando Pirates? How different is he from other chairmen that you've worked with?
Yeah, well, obviously, he has a lot of experience. And, you know, he made Ajax a success during the period that he was there. He's a man who's also played the game at a high level and understands the game very, very well. But he's an extremely ambitious man and high demanding, you know, and that's how he's become a success himself, you know, as a businessman. And that's been something rewarding for me, to work with somebody with that type of mentality, but at the same time, understanding the mechanics of the game, understanding the mechanics of managing these players and getting them to understand what our philosophy is, how we want to play, and him, you know, being capable of immediately understanding what we're trying to achieve and then backing us, you know, 100%, which is, you know, so it's been extremely rewarding. And, you know, a lot of credit has to go to him, because it was obviously a very brave decision for him to have bought this club and to find himself in his first season, in the beginning of the season, only having 14 players. And of those 14, I think it was only five of them that were actually regulars in the Aces starting lineup from the previous season. But he worked extremely hard, you know, sitting with me, sitting with the technical team, discussing about players that we could bring in to strengthen and bolster the squad to make us competitive. And we managed to achieve that.
Mm. And you slightly touched on style of play in what you mentioned now. What I noticed instinctively whenever I watch Cape Town City is the minimalistic approach to the game. Your players don't seem to dwell much on the ball. They take one, two, three touches and then it moves on to another person. As a result of that, they're very deadly on the counter. Do you have a deliberate approach to the game? Is there a way that you specifically want them to play, or it comes out naturally to those players?
No, it's things we obviously work on. We've worked on in training. Our transitional play is key to our success. But obviously, those are all things that we tried at the beginning of the season. Look at the type of players we have and where they're strong. And obviously, we look to build on that and try and improve on that where we could. And to a degree, there's a lot of repetition in terms of what we do, in terms of our training, based on our transitional play. But at the same time, you know, it's also important that we are adaptable. And I think that's why, you know, we can compete against any team, because we can adapt our formation, we can adapt our system. We don't just look to play one brand of football. You know, yes, people see it as a team that's very, very good and effective on the counter attack. But the reality is we've actually scored most of our goals that play, not through counter attacking. So, you know, I think that in itself is evidence that, you know, there's more to our game than just looking to play on the break.
Mm. All right, and we'll talk about Cape Town City a little bit more, because it's a fascinating story. It's a new team, but they're doing so well. We'll revisit that. I want you to talk to me about the differences between working at a huge institution like Orlando Pirates and then suddenly working for a relatively new institution. What was the immediate impression for you when you look at the institutions that you've worked for before, which is a huge one, like Orlando Pirates, and now at Cape Town City, the demands from the fans, the demands from the chairman, and comparing it to what you're experiencing at the moment?
Yeah, I think you answered the question yourself by calling Orlando Pirates an institution, which it is. It's more than just a football club to many fans. Orlando Pirates fans, it's a lifestyle. It's a brand. And at Orlando Pirates, they live the successes and the failures of the team, but obviously so do the fans of Cape Town City. But you know, we're talking about a club with a lot of history, going back many, many, many years, and obviously people live their day-to-day experience through the football club. So that's the type of pressures you deal with at Orlando Pirates, whereas, you know, here I've come to a new club. It's a club that's started. Yes, it's an old name. It's a name that existed. But the harsh reality is it's a new club with a new logo and a fresh start and no expectations from anybody. Everybody's just looking back to see what will happen. And, you know, truth of the matter is, you know, had we have lost the first two games in the league, things could have been completely different. That's just the way, you know, the ball rolls, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, but we started extremely well. And that was key for us to become a success and to become a brand in itself, to start getting people to recognize us as a football club. People recognize the name, Cape Town City. But now, you know, people want to follow a winning team. And fortunately, we've managed to do that. And obviously, because of that success that we've had, the brand has grown, the viewership, the following on Facebook and Twitter and on the social media has grown exponentially, which is fantastic for
for the football club. But right from the beginning, the big difference was I was going into something completely new, something that I could build from the ground up, obviously with the help of somebody who has a lot of experience of doing that, having done that already when Ajax was formed.
I wanted to find out from you, you guys did something very strange at the beginning of this year. And I say strange because people were familiar with Matthew Sim, and they thought, and we thought, everyone thought that he's a very integral part of the team. Him and Rennes Rodder was released at the beginning of the year. They were released.
Yes.
What was the reasoning behind that?
Well, Rennes Rodder, when I came to the club, he was here. He was actually signed by the previous coach, Mushin. And Renaud, in the beginning, you could see that he wasn't really enjoying the time that he was in South Africa. And, you know, when he started not to be in the starting lineup, he found it difficult to find himself sitting on the bench and not getting game time. And we spoke to him and we wanted his opinion, and he wasn't happy. And we said, well, we don't want an unhappy player at the club, because an unhappy player is not going to help us. And we gave him the option, and he accepted the option, and hence he left. And a similar scenario happened with Matty Sim. Matty Sim also came in. You know, he was a player that we identified. We watched quite a few videos on him, and we brought him in, and on trial, he'd done extremely well. We opted to sign him. He was happy to be here. He started very well. He was playing regularly. But I explained this right from the beginning of the season. You know, what's going to win us trophies is the team. It's not the individuals. And, you know, that it's a long season. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be suspension. And we need to count on everybody. And when he got injured, Puchker started playing well. And we were winning. And he unfortunately had to wait for his time to get an opportunity again. And he obviously... he didn't like that idea, and we again had the conversation with him, and he opted to leave. So we said, well, we're not going to stand in your way, and we allowed him to go. Now, there's no player that can be bigger than the club or bigger than the team, and that's the harsh reality. It's a team sport. It's not 11 individuals that play out there. It's the team that gets the wins, and it's not only about the strikers scoring the goals. It's about everybody contributing.
In life, there are promises you just have to keep. In 2015, Old Mutual paid out almost 1 million rand an hour in valid claims. An Old Mutual funeral plan is not just a contract, it's a promise. Do great things. Old Mutual, a licensed financial services provider. And immediately thereafter, there was an announcement, and it felt like new signings to me when I read the announcements that Manyama and Obringoma had extended until 2021. How easy was it to convince those guys to stay? I know Manyama said it was easy because it felt like a family. How easy from your side was it to convince those guys to stay?
No, I think he's right. It was easy. We've created a family environment in the club. And, you know, and then again, it goes back to John. That's what John's tried to create right from the first day that he brought the players to Cape Town. He made them feel at home and made them feel welcome. And that's the type of environment that we've tried to create even at training, that everybody has a role. Everybody has a purpose. Nobody should be left out. 18-man squad travels for a game. There's 11 that's going to play, but the guys that are left at home are not ignored and not forgotten, you know. And I think that is what has kept us together extremely, extremely well. So what became important also was right from the offset, John explained what his ambition was for the football club. He wanted to be a competitive team, challenging for trophies. And in order to challenge for trophies, you need to be able to keep your best players. And, you know, and John ensured that happened by obviously giving Aubrey and Level offers that they deserved in order to stay at the club. And possibly they could have got better offers somewhere else. But both players felt that this is home. This is where I feel comfortable. This is where I'm playing my football. This is where I can express myself. And, you know, obviously that's made the choice for them a lot easier.
Hmm. And just recently we spoke to Tendai Indor, Orlando Pirates striker, and I threw this question at him that seemingly at the time that he stopped scoring, Orlando Pirates were not winning. So he had a dry spell of around 9 games, and Orlando Pirates didn't win for 12 games. Manyama has 12 goals in the season so far, and he has 5 assists for the whole season. Same with Obringoma, 13 assists for the season and 4 goals. Are you worried that if someone figures out Manyama and Obringoma, that you would not be able to bang in or get in those wins and banging those goals? Because Umajoro has 5 goals, Sibusiso Maseno has 4 goals. So are you worried that once people figure out those guys, that your team would be figured out?
No, because it's like I said to you before, it's not about individuals. It's about the collective, and the contributions must come from everywhere. And it's, again, it goes back to what I said. It's about being adaptable. You know, we talk about the Lionel Messis of the world and the Cristiano Ronaldos who still manage to, year in, year out, improve on their goal scoring tally. And obviously the clubs, teams that they play against, the coaches, the players, they're figuring out how to stop them. Yet those players can adapt their games, change their game, and still manage to score goals. So you can't just now rest on your laurels and say, well, I'm being prevented from scoring because, you know, I'm scoring too many goals. Everybody's now putting attention on me. You've got to now figure out a way to solve those problems in order to ensure that you keep contributing.
Hmm. And do you believe you have a player of the season? Do you think that you're coaching a player of the season at the moment based on form, based on your achievements so far? Do you think, in your opinion, that you're currently coaching in Manyama a player of the season?
Yeah, I think it depends on why you think he is player of the season. You know, I think this is an argument that many people or ex-footballers will have. You know, what is a player of the season? Is it because he scored the most goals? Or is it because he provided the most assists? Or is it because, you know what, in midfield he works extremely hard. You didn't really see much of the work, but a lot of the things, he broke down the opposition's attack and gave the ball to someone else who created an opportunity for someone else to score. And if it wasn't for that player, you know, we probably wouldn't have ended up where we ended up. So it all depends on what you would like to call player of the season, you know, because I think we tend to reward purely the goal scorers, but sometimes it's other individuals in the team that actually put a lot of hard work in and don't get the credit for that one.
Mm. But you don't have an alternative player of the season other than Manyama, in your opinion?
No, I think there's a few players out there that have had very, very good seasons. And Percy Tau has been exceptional for Mamelodi Sundowns, you know, and, you know, so one obviously needs to look at that. If Tendai Andoro starts scoring goals again, you know, even though he might have had a dry patch, he might be up there again, you know, because that's just the way it works, unfortunately. But I think, you know, does he deserve to be in that list? Obviously, he deserves to be there because of everything that he's put in. And it's come through a lot of hard work from him, a lot of effort. And but, you know, right now, he knows that the focus cannot be on that. The focus has to be on us, ensuring we finish as high as we possibly can. There's still another 9 games left in the season. And come the end of those 9 games, whatever reward you get, well, fantastic. That's the reward. That's the bonus.
All right. Now, Tommy, I want to find out from you, and this question comes from basically your results against certain teams. Do you feel that the team is complacent at times? And I ask that because when you guys played against Ekonbosch, you lost, and the four losses that you have in the PSL are against Waroka FC, they are against Free State Stars, one of the teams, and that is like number 15 and number 16. So do you feel like the guys are complacent at times when they're facing those kind of opposition?
I do. I do. But so those games came off the back of very, very good results. You know, we can talk about, I'm not going to talk about the game against Arrows, because Arrows are having a good season, and, you know, we ended up losing that game. possibly deserved at least a point, in my opinion. Didn't deserve. It's not a case of we had a bad performance that game. But if I look at Free State Stars, we weren't very good. But we had just come off a very, very good result. I look at Platinum Stars. We had just won the Telkom. 3 days later, we had to play Platinum Stars. And we saw that complacency. And then Akon Bush, you mentioned, because we had just beaten Mamelodi Sundowns. And that's obviously a concern that I have raised with the players. In the first instance, when I go back to the Platinum Stars game, the choice I made was not to make any changes to the starting lineup. Keep the same squad, keep the consistency. And we didn't get a result. The game against Akon Bush, I decided to make changes because I thought, okay, maybe bringing in guys who didn't play, they'll be highly motivated. And the performance still wasn't there. So is it complacency? I'm convinced it is complacency. That is self-motivation, unfortunately. Players need to be self-motivated when it comes to those things. And that's obviously something I think we have a problem with in South African football, not only at Cape Town City, but at many clubs across the country.
Hmm. And I think there's another side to the same coin that I've just thrown at you now about complacency, and that is big match temperament. The guys have played against SuperSport, Bidvest Wits, Mamelodi Sundowns, Chiefs, and Orlando Pirates, and they haven't lost against those teams in the league.
Yes.
Wow. How do you, well, you talk about self-motivation. Do you have to motivate them against those teams?
No. No, you know the players, those are the games I least worry as a coach. Because I know that the players are motivated. I know when I'm going to go play against Akon Bush and the Free State Stars, and I've got to find ways of trying to motivate them. Hence, after the Platinum Stars, I actually held up my hand and said that the blame is entirely mine. Because I didn't find ways of getting these guys motivated to perform the way I know they can. And so I took full responsibility for that loss. You know, but yeah, those we know against the bigger teams, the players have motivation, but that does not mean as a coach, I don't have to prepare them in the right manner, tactically, physically, psychologically. We still got to go through the same processes that we would go through when we're playing against Akon Bush, you know, and my whole philosophy leading to the game against Akon Bush was you need to imagine you're playing against that yellow jersey again. And you need to perform the same result that you performed last week. Only difference is these guys are going to be hungry because, you know, they're a third division team. They want to be where you are. So they're going to roll up their sleeves. And if you don't match them for effort, it's not going to help you because your technical ability in itself is not going to get you the result. It's going to be your effort.
Yeah. Coach, I want to find out, like, do you think Coach Eric Tinkley is underrated? Do you think that you're not as valued as much as you should be?
You know what? I never think about that. I never think about that because, you know, I've been a battler all my life. I've always had a lot of self-belief, self-motivation. You know, many people didn't see me achieving what I achieved as a footballer. But that didn't stop me achieving what I did achieve as a footballer. And I've gone with that same philosophy as a coach. I know what I can do and what I can't do and what I'm capable of, what I'm willing to do and what I'm willing to learn. And, you know, I try and avoid social media. If I must be honest, I stay away from social media because I know if you start reading that stuff, you know, it's just going to bring you down because there's more people that have negative things to say than positive. But what I gauge in is what I see. I'm always congratulated. I'm always praised for the work that I've done. And that motivates me when I walk on the street and people are congratulating me and wanting to take pictures with me and wanting my signature. You know, even Pirates still today, you know, thanking me for what I've done at Orlando Pirates. That's what keeps me motivated. So, you know, that's what's important to me is just that I stay focused on myself, wanting to better myself as a coach, and that I continue working with that same mentality I had since I was a young boy, which is I want to be a winner. I want to win things. I want to achieve things. I want to show people that I'm capable of much more than they think I am.
Mm. Now, do you think that you have one hand on the league trophy? I know that you spoke about one game at a time.
Yeah.
The reality is that there are 9 games to go and you are top of the log.
I don't think we have.
Why is that not the case? That because I mean, the layman, like a person like me and whoever else follows football, when we see number one, we think that okay, 9 games to go, this person is probably going to win the league. Or it looks like they're winning the league.
Yeah, but our league is all over the place, to be honest, right now, with the confusion with the CAF competitions and Sundowns with so many games in hand and Wits with so many games in hand and SuperSport now also with game in hand. You know, what you read now is not entirely the truth. Although, you know, most coaches will tell you that it's better to have the points in the bag than possible points, you know, or potential points. Yeah, we right now, we focus on ourselves. We want to win that game against Chipper. We want to keep collecting points. We're aiming to hit 46 mark as quick as we can because, for me, that will guarantee top 8, which is what we want to achieve right now. And the harsh reality is, for us to win the league, we have to rely on others. It means Sundowns have to drop points. Wits have to drop points. SuperSport have to drop points. Kaizer Chiefs have to drop points. And we can't rely on others. We must rely on ourselves. And, you know, that's what's important right now for me. And when you start putting that pressure on everybody, then that's when things can go sideways, in my opinion. Right now, we just focus on the game against Chipper. It's what we've done at the beginning of the season, and it's worked for us, and we'll continue doing that.
All right. And last one before we let you go, Coach. If past behavior is anything to go by, the national team coach is usually selected from a pool of local coaches that are achieving locally or international people that are perceived to be achieving. So at some point, if past behavior is anything to go by, at some point you will get your chance. If that some point was tomorrow, what would be the immediate things that you would change about the national team from the time that you were working there as a player and now from the time that you tracked them, you watched them? What do you think would be the immediate things that needs to be changed about the national team in order for us to get to that point that you got as an African champion and as a world beater?
Ooh, you asked me. selection process.
What about the process?
Yeah, selection process. I think that needs to be studied a lot better, a lot harder. I think, you know, that's an area that we need to get better at, in terms of which players we are selecting for our national team, what we want to achieve. Is it long-term? Is it short-term? Or are we looking for both? Because, you know, in football, harsh reality is there's no quick fixes. And, when it comes to selection of the squad, I think we let ourselves down sometimes, and I think we could be looking at that a lot harder.
Is there anything administration-wise, intrusion of the coaches' work? I mean, we've read a lot of stories. Even your peers would say stuff about administrators not paying players on time, bonuses, flight tickets, and so on and so forth. Do you think that those are the things that you would want to change, or do you know for sure that those are things no longer happening in the national team?
Players, what becomes important is that everybody must understand, players in particular, representing your country is the greatest honor you could ever be bestowed on you. And we shouldn't find ourselves in a situation now where we have players who are actually turning down to play for the national team. We need to be asking serious questions as to why is that, you know, and if it is because of financial issues, well, obviously those issues need to be resolved. You can't be having that situation. Is it because of club issues? And I think those situations should have been resolved. It used to exist as a problem that day because, you know, the FIFA calendar wasn't really in line with the league calendar. And then you ended up having to leave to play for your country while your team was still playing a league match. And that used to cause problems. But now the FIFA break is the FIFA break across the world. So that shouldn't influence you at your club overseas. You know, so I don't think those are are excuses. But obviously, administration level, we ensure that we are as professional can be, to create an environment that those players are comfortable and understand that they are playing for their national team. And like I said to you before, that's the greatest honor that could be bestowed upon you. And there needs to be a sense of pride and a sense of honor and a sense of expectancy that the players, what is expected from them every time they come out and play for the national team. You know, but yeah, there's a lot of issues around our national team right now. You know, just not one, but my personal opinion is obviously the type of player in terms of the selection process that we are going through right now.
All right, Coach Eric Tinker, thank you very much for your time. All good things come to an end, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. Tune in next week for another exciting edition of the Old Mutual Big Interview.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.